Let's talk about your Cinderford connection a bit, yeah. Pete. How did that first come about?
I was team manager at Gloucester. Cinderford weren't particularly having a great year. They had just got promoted, I think, into National 3. And they'd got up to Christmas time and think had only won one game. And, you know, why did I get involved at Cinderford? Because they were the first club that asked me to get involved at Cinderford. And it was as simple as that. You know, I had a phone call from Dennis Hargreaves. Again, quite a few of my close friends were playing up there at the time. Dennis phoned me and said, look, you know, would you be interested in coming up and helping out? I'd done my qualification badges, and as I say, they were the first club that asked me, so I said, yeah, of course I will do. And, you know, like all things in that, you're keen to make an impact. And I still remember the first training session I went up there, it was just meant to be to observe, and in 10 minutes I was on the park bossing people and trying to tell people how to play the game. And it really went from strength from there. You know, the following year I took over from Dennis, and loved my time there. You know, I was at Cinderford coaching there for 9 years, in charge there for 9 years, and very proud of the club, very proud of what they've achieved. Coming from South West One and now playing in National One, you know, the third tier of rugby in the country. And, you know, along the way, they've adopted professionalism or semi-professionalism as best they can. And, you know, they've backed it. There was always a big thing back when I first took over Cinderford was, you know, there was all these rumours that Cinderford paid players and other clubs didn't pay players, and I went in there and it was like, do we, don't we? Well, we do. Well, then let's tell everybody we do. Let's not hide away from the fact of it. If we do, we do. And then, you know, it's all out in the open then. And I suppose that was one of the things in local rugby back then, because we are talking probably 11 years ago now, because it's been a couple of years since I've been involved in Cinderford. You know, back then it was very much a cloak and daggers type of thing, and having come from a setup like Gloucester Rugby Club, one of my first aims was to take the cloak and daggers away. You know, be upfront and open. Yes, players do get paid, you know, albeit might be £10, but they still get paid, and you know, get that out of the way and let's focus on the pitch stuff and how we improve ourselves on the pitch. Yeah, and I loved it at Cinderford. I had absolute fantastic years at Cinderford. You know, again, you start to see the pressure that some of these coaches are under at the top level. You know, director of rugby at Cinderford, it's the same pressure as Premiership, it's just in a smaller dose. You know, you still feel when you lose, you can't figure out how you're losing, or you can't work out what to do to win. You know, it still gives you sleepless nights. You know, you still worry about it. But obviously, these guys down here, it's their jobs. It's, you know, it's their livelihoods on the line. You know, at that level, you know, it's still not your full-time job. But you still take it to heart. Because ultimately, if the team fails, who was in charge that year? Oh, he was. Well, he can't be very good, can he? You know, and... You know, I'm very pleased to say at my time at Cinderford, we finished in a higher place year on year, every year while I was there. You know, the first year when I got involved from Christmas, it went right down. You know, the guys had won one game up until Christmas. And I'm not saying this is all just because I got involved. One game since Christmas, and we got relegated the very last game of the season, just missing out by a couple of points. Stayed away. We then went down, and then from the following year, we finished a higher level every year, year on year. And you know, now Deeks is in charge and doing a great job down there, and they're still going from strength to strength.
Yeah. And what are you doing now, Pete?
In sport, nothing. Taking time out. I think with trying to run businesses in this economic climate takes a lot of your time. I've got a young family. Which also takes a lot of my time, and it's actually nice now after probably 25 years of Saturday and commitment to be able to wake up and decide what you want to do on a Saturday. You know, to be able to say, you know what, I come down to Gloucester this week, or to be able to go up to Cinderford, or you know what, to go and play a game of golf. You know, so from that aspect, I'm enjoying it. You know, it's one of the hardest decisions of my life to step down from Cinderford, but having stepped down, I instantly knew it was the right decision because I wasn't missing it. You know, there's always that fear. You see a lot of these top athletes, they announce their retirement and then 3 months later they come back because they miss it so much. So there was always that, am I doing the right thing? But, you know, still 2 years on now, I don't miss it. You know, I love going to watch it. You know, I still support Cinderford, still support Gloucester, but I don't miss being involved with the daily pressures of running clubs.
Yeah. Just enjoy watching the rugby.
Yeah, exactly. That's not to say in a year or two's time I might get back involved. You never know what the future might hold, but you know, it is nice just to pitch up and be a pure spectator and not, you know, not get stressed out about it. I always remember, this is something else that you have to learn when you go from being a player to a coach or manager, is that victory is so much different when you're a player to when you're a manager. When you win something as a player, you've been involved in the battle, you've been involved in the confrontation, and you feel victorious. When you're on the other side of the fence as a coach or management, it's more just a sense of relief. It really is. I can remember when Cinderford got promoted international one, and I think I was home by 9 o'clock. It was because all the pressure builds up on you.
Yeah.
And you're preparing the team and you're building the team up, then the whistle blows for the start of the game and the whole thing is taken out of your control. Yes, you can try and coach from the side, but ultimately the control is in the players now and it's out of your hands, so that when that final whistle goes and you've won, it's just a sense of relief, you know. And I've spoken to quite a few guys about this and they've all said the same. You know, you don't really massively celebrate victory as a coach, or it's just thank God for that. You know, we've won that game, now we can move on and look at this.
Well, you clearly have Cherry and White in the blood, and I'm pleased to hear that we shall see you down here for some of the matches this coming season. Will that be in the shed or the stand?
Ah, well, I mean, through my business, as I say, we do sponsor the club and we are members of the 1873 suite, but you know, I very often get over in the Lions Den and have a pint over there. It doesn't fuss me when I'll go for a pint. And also, you know, it's great to get down there because you see so many people down there as well. So, you know, predominantly I do come up here, but you know, to go down in the Shogun Bar or to go anywhere, you know, this club's a great club. It's great atmosphere, you know. The beer tastes the same no matter where you get it from. It's just, you know, mixing in different social circles.
Yeah. What have we missed out? What should we have asked you about that I haven't thought to?
Oh, blimey.
We didn't say too much about your playing for the South West and about that season when you played in all the divisional games, didn't you? Then you played against Western Samoa,
yes.
I think.
Yeah, that's true. And on the Fosbit in King's Own
Ground. You were getting on the fringes at that point.
Yeah, definitely. And again, I was just loving playing. And, you know, it was at a spell where I wasn't getting injured. You know, the South West was, I found a great honour to play for it. You know, the next step was England back then. You know, South West was the second
trials
for England.
Yes, they were.
And you know, you pitch up, you get all your kit, you get the South West blazer. You know, as you say, it was like a trial England, and it was fantastic. You know, really, really enjoyable to be involved in. And as I say, I can remember playing against Samoa in midweek and Fosbit and Grain, which I think we lost that game, but at the same time, you know, again, a great achievement to be involved in, and one that perhaps I don't look back on it and appreciate as much as perhaps I should be,
yeah,
being involved in those divisional games, because they were, I suppose, a small part of my playing career. The bulk of my playing career was at Gloucester.
Mm.
That's generally what I remember the most of, rather than, you know, as I said, I touched on some of the guys I played with, you know, some of the guys I played against on the divisional side, which was a fantastic challenge for me. Mm. But ultimately, my focus was always to play well for Gloucester.
Yeah.
Whatever come off the back of it was an added bonus for me. Yes, it would have been lovely to have played for England or England A or anything like that. It didn't happen. I don't begrudge anybody. I don't, you know, I'm not bitter about it. It just,
mm-hmm,
it was what it was.
Yeah.